Hey, 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 hey. It's the Big News Show with me, Ben Bailey. Episode number 20. And we are live from Vic's Bar. And keep in mind, everybody, when I say we are live from Vic's Bar, this time, I mean it. We are live from Vic's Bar. But the other part of what I said isn't true. It's not we, it's just me. So if I were to, like, say, I don't know, play the open for the show for you guys, like this. Oh, this just in from outer space. The show with Ben Bailey is about to begin. It's the Big News Show with me, Ben Bailey. And just me. It's just me tonight, folks. Emma Gleason went mad and the police have shot her. That's not true. That's not what happened. She's just got other stuff to do that's more important. So I don't know if she's going to be here, but we are live from Vic's right now. I don't know if we're going to hear from Sparky. I don't know. Everything's up in the air. I don't know if there's going to be any weird, wild, wacky Wednesday Weekly World News or not, but we're going to hang out. We're going to chat. I'm going to chat it up with you guys. At the very least. It's the big... There's not going to be the wise old man. The wise old man on the mountain, sadly enough, everybody, has moved away. There's not going to be basement riffs. This entire open is all just a pack of lies. There's the first one that's actually going to happen since the part that said it's me, Ben Bailey. Viewer questions, and that's because you guys are viewing and you're going to ask questions, I would assume. Jeez, when will this open be over? We are going to close it all out with Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I promise you that much. It is the Big News Show, everybody, with me, episode number 20. Let's do it. Hey, 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 folks. Episode number 20. I can't believe it. It's been a roller coaster ride. It's been like a, not like a big good one, but like one of the small roller coasters, you know, in the kiddie part that just goes like 3 feet up and then circles back. And it's not frightening or exciting at all. I guess it is for the kids. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this show is good for kids, because, let's be honest, I don't think it is, folks. but it is number 20, and I hope you guys continue to be entertained by this nonsense that we're putting out. And I've got to change from saying we, because it's not we tonight, it is just me. And I'm not going to keep you guys waiting. I know what you want. You want to drink your drink. So go ahead, everybody, it's a cash cab drive-by. That means it's time for you to drink your drink.
Be it beer, be it whiskey, be it water, be it wine. You take a sip of yours, I'll take a sip of mine.
Well, that was a new spin. I hope you guys liked it. It's a cash cab drive-by, folks. We're toasting you and all the shit you've been through and all the shit you put up with. And you're still here. And you're still doing it. And you're taking the time to hang out with me tonight. I appreciate that. So, cheers to you. And I'm taking a sip, too. You can't see me because there's the stuff over this, but busted. I'm about to take a sip. Cheers, you guys. Episode number 20. Appreciate you. In honor of Emma not being here, I'm going to do her favorite segment where I tell you guys some stuff about the number 20 because it's episode 20. Get it? It's episode number 20, so we're talking about the number 20. And I haven't even looked at this yet. This just came in from the home office in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. That's homage to somebody. Anybody know who it is? It's David Letterman. It's the great David Letterman. He used to say that. Everything came from the home office. And I'm going to see if I can get the chat going here so I can see you guys. Oh, hey. Oh, no, now I'm interrupting myself. I have to turn down the volume on the device on which I am watching the program. Hey, everybody. Cheers, y'all. What's up, Elizabeth and Chooch and Kevin and Raphael and Abyss Miniature Studios? Welcome. Abyss, I don't know if I've seen you out there before. Welcome. Connor McLaughlin, Con, James Payne, what up? Spin the wheel of insanity. That sounds like a risk I'm not ready to take. Guys, is this awesome? I'm live with you. We're chatting. It's like the old days, but with a different backdrop. By the way, this is the real studio behind me on previous episodes, it's been green screened. Hi, Elizabeth. And it's, what are you talking about, ConCon? Tony Stewart's old Home Depot NASCAR number 20. I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it. I guess that was his number. Okay, now I'm catching up. Okay, all right, I understand. Yeah, Letterman used to always say, you know, from the home office, and it was often someplace weird and different. One of them was Tahlequah, Oklahoma. So yeah, I haven't even looked at these. It's 20 terrific facts about the number 20. And it's from the fact site, so you know it's true. I haven't checked it at all. Don't count on me on any of this. This is just conversational, everybody. Don't go out and bet your life on what I'm telling you. This is fantastic, isn't it, Laura? Hola, Mark G. What up? This is great, you guys. I feel so good to be live again. I got to tell you, if anybody out there was thinking over the last several episodes, like, wow, what happened? This show sucks now. Then I was with you. And I think it's because I was just kind of, something was lost from it. I like the idea that we're live right now. It brings an aspect to it for me that I enjoy. And to that end, I think I'm going to blow it up. Oops. Boom! Blowing it up! What's up, Brian Smith? Howdy. Yay, the old days. That's right, Marta Weller. That's right. It feels like the old days. I'm already feeling like this was a good way to go. And I said I'm going live, and Emma was like, forget it. I'll never go live. No way. And she walked out. It's not true. You guys knew. You knew I was kidding. You must have. I feel like you did. Okay, could we get to the number 20 already, Ben? You're going to kill an hour before you even get to the first segment. 22 people watching. Come on, man. Let's work on that. Spread the word, folks. Got to be hard to pull off live. Chooch, what are you talking about, man? I need your support now. I don't need negativity. I know what you're saying. It's fun. I'm having fun. I got new software. And seems to be way better so far than the old software. And it's completely free. How about that? So over the ages, people have attributed many facts to numbers. That doesn't have anything to do with the number 20. That's just the top here. The number 20, let's see here. Oh, the number 20, means a score. You could say, if you say a score, like 4 score and 7 years ago, that's 4 score. That's 4 times 20, 80 years, 87 years ago. If anyone was wondering what Lincoln was talking about for all these years of your life, 87 years ago, that's what he was saying. 4 score. I don't know if he spoke that way. I never met the guy. But in my head, he was always like, 4 score and 7 years ago. That's how he does it in my head. And believe me, Lincoln is talking in my head all the time. The number 20 is a score. It is the chemical. This is the part that Emma's really going to be upset that she missed, where I say the atomic number for which element. She loves this part. It's calcium. The atomic number for calcium is 20. An interesting thing about calcium, it is actually a metal. How about that? I can almost hear her snoring somewhere else in the house. It is a metal that is alkaline in nature. If someone has 20/20 vision, it means they have perfect eyesight. The idea behind it is that if you can read a specific set of letters on a chart, yeah, I know how a vision test works. What does 20/20 actually mean? I know what it means. This just in, folks. It means the worst year in the history of the world. metric equivalent of 20 feet. Oh, there it is. A chart at a distance of 20 feet. So you could name all 20 things that you see while 20 feet away from the chart. I never knew that. Chocked with interesting facts. Great work, home office. What? Who is your daddy and what does he do? Kindergarten cop. Connor. Nailed ya. I have 20/20 vision. I don't. My vision is not great. I'm one of those. I'm now like an old guy who's supposed to wear glasses but won't. I'm so stubborn that I'd rather be blind and walk into stuff than wear glasses. It's not true. It's not that bad. I can read stuff. I just have to hold it 36 feet away from my face. And then I can focus on it, but it's so small. A 2020 is something different altogether in the game of cricket. It's a specific variation of the game of cricket. A 20, the word 20, and then the number. So 20 and then 20. A 2020 is a variation of the game of cricket where each team is only allowed to play for 20 overs in total. So, and I know that everyone here in these United States understands that perfectly. All I had to do was say that, and everybody knows exactly what that means. Excluding me. Nobody knows what that means. I don't know what it means. According to developmental psychology, we are not adults until we reach the age of 20. Or for some people, 75. Or 90. Blah, 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 blah. The age of majority, which is the age one legally becomes an adult, used to be 20 in Japan. In 2018, that was changed and is now 18. That is just very... These things are just more and more loosely connected to the number. But I'm okay with it. I'm getting some, interestings. I like that. I like it. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There are a total of 20 different possible moves that you can legally play at the beginning of a game of chess. Didn't know that. That's kind of cool. I knew there was one you could do. The queen's gambit. The queen's pawn opening. I know a couple. I tried to play chess for like a minute. And I was like, yeah, that's enough of this. It's too hard. It's too much to think about. And people are like, yeah, it's like you're fighting a war. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be fighting a war. Is there a game that feels like sitting by the pool? Because that sounds good to me. Have you ever picked up a Rubik's Cube and struggled away at it for hours on end? Excuse me. This sounds like the beginning of an infomercial for a thing that'll teach you how to do the Rubik's Cube. Have you ever picked up a Rubik's Cube and struggled away at it for hours on end? Turns out that the Rubik's Cube can always be solved in 20 moves or less, no matter how mixed up it is. Do we believe that? Are we believing that? I believe it. I'll believe it. Because you get to 19 and then you just pull it apart and put it back together with the cubes in the right order. That's how frustrating that thing is. They built it in that you could smash it and fix it. So the people wouldn't just say, you know what? Fuck this thing. I've been at it for like a month. And then there's always one kid. I was in like middle school when the Rubik's Cube came out, and it was tough. I got to where I could get one side pretty quick. And then I knew that there was like a formula for that one side, and then two, and then three, you know what I mean? But then there was one kid at school who was just like, and he was just done. And we were like, wow, he's a genius. I don't know how he's doing. I have no idea. He might, who knows, maybe he is a genius. It's been long enough, we could look up what he's done and find out if the Rubik's Cube is a good predictor of one's ability to succeed in life. Chess is too strategizing. It is. You're right about that, Marta. That game, it's always strategizing against you. No chess for Elizabeth. People are chiming in. Knight to poolside bar, checkmate. Bacon bits, you get one of these. Boom! Kevin's Bacon Bits, Knight to Poolside Bar. Blowing it up! This is great, you guys. I'm actually having a good time again. Can you tell? I'm in such a good mood that I might invite the tech guy to come back next week. Just so I can slap his face. That son of a bitch. It's proven for Rubik's Cube that it can be solved in 20 moves or less, says Raphael Warrior Hamato. That is exactly what I just said, okay? So if you're going to report stuff, don't just report things that I just reported, okay? Thank you for chiming in and backing it up. Rupert from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I didn't see the beginning of that. May I use the bathroom, please? That's a good one. His name is Forrest Lawrenston. Lawrence Forrestman. That's a very funny movie. I enjoy that film. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Yeah, the Rubik's Cube thing we did. Prepare for an absolute shocker fact. That's what it says here next. In the game 20 questions, there are, in fact, 20 questions. Digging deep. Digging deep. I think I should create a new segment called Things That Are Very Loosely Related to the Number 20. In Australian rules football, a game is made up of four 20-minute quarters. Well, yeah, if there's four of them, then they're quarters, right? That's why the periods in a hockey game are called periods, and I just took a drink, and so should you. It's a cash cab drive-by number two. Drink your drink. Sip your beverage, people. Sorry, Chooch. Am I busting someone's balls hard? I'm flying off the handle. I'm going off the cuff. Be it beer, be it whiskey, be it water, be it wine. You take a sip of yours, and I shall take a sip of mine, and we'll call it a toast. Cheers, everybody. To you and your loved ones. And all you do and all they do. All that you don't do and all that they don't do and none of the stuff that you both don't do. Cheers, everybody. By the way, I brought a few things to the bar with me today that I thought we might have missed. One of them, bobblehead me. What's up, little Ben? Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Number two. Oh. It's the little cap. Sorry, did I say something harsh? Chooch, whose balls did I bust? Did I hurt someone's feelings? I've been drinking cough syrup all day. So you guys are going to have to keep track for me. Oh, there's a movie quote. I'll give you that. I just wish I hadn't drank all that cough syrup. No, I'm fine. I'm okay. I just wish I hadn't drank all that cough syrup earlier today. Best hour of the week. Booty dance. It was happening. I knew it was going to happen. I hoped. I imagined. Yes, bobblehead Ben dressed as the Fonz. I just wish I hadn't drank all that cough syrup this morning. Anybody? You guys can chime in with movie quotes now. Another advantage of being live. Except you're a little bit behind me. So I have to wait. Yes, smart is all over. I didn't have to wait at all. Stripes Bill Murray, winger. Absolutely right. What a fantastic movie. I think we've discussed it before. Stripes is like several movies in one movie. Right? Three movies. I think it's a three-movie movie. It totally is Stripes, isn't it? Yes, Kevin Bacon bits. It is. Yeah, Marta was all over it. And Aussie Rules football, quarters are 20 minutes. There's four of them. That's why they call them quarters. That's a four-score game right there. U.S. college basketball is governed by a few different organizations. So far, no connection to the number 20 at all. Under the NCAA basketball rules, the game is made up of two 20-minute halves. What? Is that accurate? Is a college basketball game only 40 minutes long? Is an NBA basketball game only 40 minutes long? I wouldn't know, I guess, because I don't know. But that seems awfully short to me. I don't watch basketball. I think I've made that apparent. 20th wedding anniversary is referred to as a China anniversary. Everywhere except for in China. In China, they just call it your 20th anniversary. And they say right here where we are. That means you give your husband or wife something made out of China. So the 20th wedding anniversary is all about the shine in your Japan, folks. A shape with 20 sides is called, anybody? Is called an icosahedron. A shape with 20 sides, a 20. Do you guys say 20 or 20? 20? 20. 20. 20. A shape with 20 sides is called an icosahedron. I never heard that before. How many people just shut the show off as I repeated that? Oh, is it really? Bye. That's not funny. It is kind of funny, I guess. I hope you guys are having a good time. I know I am. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, me, oh, my, oh, my. When it comes to age, 20 is a rather strange one. While some cultures consider you an adult and allow you complete freedom, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, whoever wrote that. Others still don't until you're 21. 20's an interesting number in terms of many things, not just age, blah, 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 blah. Get to the facts. To the facts, please. Yeah, I don't think there's anything else good in here. Did you guys already look through this? Before the rules were changed in 2011, 21 was the amount of points required to win a game of table tennis and badminton. But that's 21, so now they've moved on. Oh, sorry, guys. I jumped ahead to next week's program. Oops. One less left for next week. I'm trying to do the double-sided printing. I mean, the people that are preparing these for me are doing the double-sided printing. And it becomes a little confusing if you don't pay any attention at all. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Nope, that's the page we were just looking at. Okay, that's it for the segment, everybody. I'm giving myself one of these. Blowing it up, folks. Episode number 20. Episode number 20. If you had 10 and you doubled it, you'd have 20. There I did. I sang for you a little bit, Chooch. I must have been singing when you wrote that. What's your 20? There's a good one. How come that wasn't on my list? Dear Home Office, you are going to be relocated because you stink at your job. What's your 20? I wonder why that is. We could look that up. I'm going to allow this comment from Abyss Miniature Studios. Does that mean you make miniature productions or your studios are actually very small? All right, I have a question for you guys. Do you prefer this background behind me, which is actually a live shot of Triple B Studios, which we use the plural because it sounds very impressive, but really just this one room. It's the only studio that we have. Sorry, I'm reading some of the stuff that you guys are writing here. Great singing, Ben. Thank you. You lie to me, warrior. You lie. You are a liar, but I appreciate it. Windshield wipers, slapping time, holding Bobby's hand in mine. Did you guys sing every song that driver knew? You've got to show up. You've got to show up to the karaoke I host. Kelf, you host a karaoke night? Where is that taking place? Kelf on a Shelf hosts a karaoke night, everybody. Karaoke. One of the best, worst things that ever happened to humankind. Oh, you like the background there. Makes you want to shoot some pool. Yeah, well, there's a pool table, but the problem is, and I don't know how this is even possible, but to have the camera so that it looks right here aimed at me sitting at the bar, and I look straight, the whole room, it looks like the balls should be rolling. So it doesn't make, it's like a weird little paradox here. Is that the right thing? Paradox? Very nice background. I see Bill is back there. Yep, Bill's back there on the wall. It's really the same thing. The previous background on the shows was just a picture of that, but it lined up nicer and it looked good, you know what I mean? It was looking good, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's slightly crooked, says Connor McLaughlin. Yep, totally. The blue curtains will always be missed. Oh my God, the blue curtains, remember? Do you guys remember the blue curtains? Those were the days. Those were the days. Wow, that was awful. I'm sorry that you guys had to had to put up with that. It's been crazy hot here, and we've just been pooling it. And Sparky the dog, he's a unique beast. Most dogs, you put him in the pool, and they're like, "Woohoo! I already know the one stroke." Sparky, if you put him in the pool, he starts to do this, and he makes a splash. And when he splashes, he sees the water go up, and he tries to eat it and catch it as it's coming down into the pool. And then his butt goes down, and then he starts to sink. He's the only dog I've ever known that cannot swim. So he goes nuts if we're out there. If I swim laps in the pool, which I often do, although I haven't been because I'm having a little shoulder thing. I think I've been sleeping on it wrong. I should be sleeping on it some other way, you know what I mean? But when I would swim laps, Sparky will run laps around the pool, so it's good exercise for him. But he's doing it. It's stressful. He's not doing it like, let's get some exercise. He thinks he might have to save me, is the vibe, you know? So we go down, and we're in the pool, and Sparky's up in the house, but we got the glass, the back door is, you know, a 15 panel door. You could see through it all the way down to the bottom, you know what I mean? So he can sit in the door and see us down, further down in the pool, and you hear him howling around your kitchen door. You better not let him in. You hear him howling, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to capture the sound of the video and the sound of the howling Barkelbink. But it didn't happen. Somehow, he just moves around too much when he's doing the howling. But I do have a video, and I think I have some audio of the howling beast on it, which I will share with you guys. And then maybe we'll get him to howl real time upstairs. Although Emma is up there with him, so he's feeling okay, I'm sure. As long as he knows where she is and all, he's like, he loves her. He ignores me and goes right to her. Do you guys have a dog? Who does your dog choose? We're going to get there. This is when we were out. I just put the phone on the counter. Oh. Poor Sparkle Bark. Let's get to the howling. There it is. You guys finally get to hear what a real Sparkle Howl sounds like. So no Emma tonight. But it sounds like a whale. He sounds like a giant sperm whale underwater. Oh, Mr. Sparklebark. Yeah, because you don't want him falling in the pool. Because he can't swim. His dog can't swim. But he knows. He doesn't go in anymore. He didn't like it. He doesn't swim anymore. I think it's a dog thing. I had a previous dog known as the Magic Floof. Yeah, that's right. And she would go crazy whenever I went swimming in a pool. She, the same kind of thing. She thought she had to save me. And she would just back and forth on the edge and slipping to the point that she's like almost going in after me. You know, even when I'm like right next to her, I'm like, I'm fine. It's okay. Look, I'm okay. You know, they're just like, you need to get out of there, man. You need to get out of there. It's too dangerous. You're crazy, man. Get out of there. So Spark stays in. And he howls. And for that reason, you guys got to hear it. You're allowed to hear it, folks. Oh, Stripes is a great movie. It's three movies in one. There's the opening where Harold Ramis, his character, convinces Bill Murray, Winger, to join the army. He's having like the worst day of his life. He loses his job. His girl leaves him. And he's like hit bottom, and then Harold Ramis is like, let's join the army, and he's like in a moment of ridiculousness, he says, yeah, okay, and then they're in the army, and hilarity ensues, and then there's like a whole movie in them at basic training, which like wraps up when they make it through graduation, even though their drill sergeant was injured during basic training. And then they, like, go and fight a small-scale war. It's like any one of them is, like, a pretty good film all by itself. And speaking of Harold Ramis, one of my favorite directors, Harold Ramis. R.I.P., Mr. Harold Ramis. There is a new real new to me anyway, Ghostbusters movie called Ghostbusters Afterlife. That's pretty good, man. I think it's geared a bit more for the young folks, but it's pretty good. It's got some of that movie magic feel to it. And there's some good surprises. I enjoyed it. I was like, I'm too old to be liking this as much as I am. But it's good movie fun. So yeah, I would check that out if you guys are fans of Ghostbusters. Harold Ramis was great. Indeed. Indeed he was, Marta Weller. Tactical Assault Winnebago. Let's do another Stripes quote. You already know what it is, but it's fun. Where the fuck's my truck? Where the fuck's my truck? These men are exactly the type of go-getters I want working on my new EM50 project in Italy. There's so many great ones. So many great ones in that film. But yeah, so I don't know how it is where you guys are, but it's been hot, and we have just been kicking it. Just like laid-back pool days already. Like summer, officially summer has just begun. And we're loving it, man. Some summers, I feel like we never really get into it. You know, we never quite get to that, like, summer days by the pool vibe. You work, because there's always so much to be done. You guys are homeowners, a lot of you, right? If you have a property, I don't care if it's how big it is, how big or small, it's insane to try to keep a place up. Like, we lived in apartments forever. I always lived in apartments. I never really knew. You know, when I was a kid, I lived in my parents' homes and didn't have any real idea of what it took to maintain them because they just did it, you know. And then you get all, you know, like, lived in apartments. I'm older. I'm living out on my own. And you see a super, and he's got, like, 70,000 keys on a ring. And you don't get it. And then you own a home, and you have so much equipment and so much stuff just to manage the property. You're like, no wonder. Like, it's crazy what it takes. So some years, we're just doing that so much that we don't, it's like, it feels like we never get to the pool. We look at it from the kitchen and go, look, oh, that's a nice pool out there. We should swim in that. We should swim in that thing sometime. Nah, we don't have time. We've got stuff to do. We gotta keep unloading and reloading the fucking dishwasher. Feels like that's all you do sometimes, doesn't it? But we have gotten to it already. Like, we've been out in the yard a lot already, and we've been swimming. And today I had one of those, like, in-the-pool days where I felt like a kid. I was just, like, doing flips and, like, floating underwater and just reveling in how awesome it is to be swimming. So I recommend that to all of you guys. If you have a chance, indulge in some summer stuff, man, as soon as possible, because it feels good. Feels really good. And we went out to dinner. We met some friends for dinner, and it was like we didn't have to wear masks. And we, you know, I know it's been a while, but we haven't exactly dove back in. I always want to say doven. And it just feels so good to get out and do some stuff. So I think you guys should do that. Paper plates, there you go. No cleanup. Just, as long as you can recycle them, I guess they're okay, you know. Listen to me, old man responsible. Is there, all right, I'm going to look back here. I'm just looking here. This show makes our weekend. Oh, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. We're trying to find it and continue with it in a way that we enjoy, because, you know, if we're not enjoying it, then you guys probably aren't enjoying it. And we want it to be something inspired. Like, I felt like I was asleep some of the time. That's why I really feel good about this live part. Coming back to it, this live aspect. Kel, if you miss pools, now you sit under the sprinkler. Oh, well, there you go. You just turn it on and sit in a chair and let it spray. Does it just go around and spritz you once in a while? Kelf runs a karaoke night, and I did not stick around focus-wise to the chat long enough to see where and when, but maybe you guys did. We're all going to crash that thing one night. Look out! health would love that. Happy balance. Yep. I miss pools. I saw that one already. Sleep under the sprinkler. That's a good idea. It'll just keep waking you up every time it comes around. Wake up, wake up. I feel very fortunate to have a pool. I like having a pool. When I was a kid, I was an absolute pool rat. I was on the swim team. That's how much I loved the pool. I would get up early. Like, I'm an absolute night owl. I don't know about you guys, but I have yet to meet a person who is more of a night owl than I am that's not someone that works a graveyard shift or the overnight shift like Mr. Kowalski does. With the exception, of course, of my father, Bill Bailey, is still more of a night owl than I. But yeah, I always have been. It's just kind of a thing. And I totally forgot where I was going with that. Chooch loves to go swimming with bow-legged women. Who doesn't, Chooch? I mean, seriously. Who doesn't love to go swimming with bow-legged women? I stay up till midnight, says Raphael. Okay. When you go to bed, Raphael, I've got four and a half, five hours to go before I go to bed. And that is not a bragging rights kind of thing. I'm just kind of like, I'm just up at that hour, man. 11 o'clock is when I'm like, let's do this. I'm ready to do something. My juices are flowing and I'm firing on all synapses. I'm ready to attack a problem and the whole world is asleep. I'm trying to get better at it. But I've been trying to get better at it for like a very long time. Oh, I forgot I have this show logo that I can put up. I haven't been doing it at all. There it is. It's the big new show, episode number 20, everybody. Yes, I am a night owl, which is an interesting term. Because you could just say I'm an owl, and that includes the nocturnal part. Right? But it sounds better, night owl, just owl. What kind of bird are you, man? I'm an owl. Woo. A lot of who's coming in. Oh, no, it's Ben versus Owl all over again. Marta Weller, you usually go to bed around 2 a.m. I'm surprised by that. You, too, are a night owl. And spinal bifida used to work till 2 and sometimes 4 a.m. years ago. Kelf, wow, you guys, you know what? Are you guys a bunch of night owls, all of you? All of yous. My dad used to call me a vampire. My nickname in college was the Count. I would often still be up and have breakfast with my buddies who were getting up to go to their first class. Sunrise is the best time, says Kelf. So you stay up for it? or do you get up for it? That's the difference, right? Owls can be awake in the day, too. Kelf, don't mess with that. You don't know what that means to me. Yeah, I guess they could. Damn that owl. Perhaps the bird was unhappy. I'm about to take a sip, so you guys should, too.
Be a beer, be a water, be a whiskey, be a wine. You take a sip of yours, I'll take a sip of mine.
Shit's getting weird. I know there's a booty dance going on out there somewhere. Maybe that'll catch on at some point, and the rest of you guys will start doing it too. Another night owl, Miskin. I knew it! You guys are all like me! You're a bunch of night owls! You weirdos! It's fantastical. How funny is that? That a lot of you regulars are night owls, and we never knew that we had that in common, and we don't even do the show late at night. It's really interesting. Just who do you think you are? Huh. Yeah, I've always been a night owl. When I was like 13 years old, younger, before that, I think I was 10 or 11. And I don't know if I've ever told this story on any of these shows. I don't think I have. But around where we live, where we grew up, there are supermarkets, a chain of supermarkets called King's. And King's would have green stamps, S&H green stamps. And whenever you shopped at King's and spent any money, which if you shopped at King's, you spent a fair amount of money. It's a high-end place. It's pretty expensive, but you get the goods. They got the good stuff. They're still around. They're great stores. But they had green stamps you would get. So you'd like get your whole order through, run through the cart, and then you crank out a bunch of green stamps, like tickets that you would get at the fair, except they were green and they weren't as thick. And if you wet them, they become adhesive. And then so you rip them off one by one, you lick them, you stick them in the book, and then you can take the books to a store, a whole separate store, where you can buy goods with your green stamps. S&H green stamps. And we had a store right in our town. Back when they used to have stores in towns, we had a store that you could go and you would shop with your green stamps. And so we saved up. We would go shopping and help my mom, and we'd load up the cart. And she would say, here's the green stamps. You guys save them up, put them in the books, and eventually we'll go to the store and you guys can get something. So we saved up forever. We every time we shopped for years, a couple of years, we saved up these stamps until we had a stack of books of stamps, like huge. We had a lot. And we went to the store and we decided together that we would get a black and white television set, a 12-inch or 13-inch black and white little TV. And we were ecstatic. And we got it, and we brought it home. And it was decided that it would be in my sister's room. And I was livid. I'm like, I saved up these things. I put them in the... I had green, sticky, somewhat minty tongue for a week after we put the damn things in the books, too. How come the TV goes in her room? Really, it was because she was older, and there was no real way to decide. And we had another TV that was everybody could watch. And we even had a little TV on top of the fridge in the kitchen, I think, so that my father could watch tennis while we were eating dinner. I'm not sure if that's true, but maybe, because he's a tennis nut. Oh, still is. Love to watch tennis. But so, this is going somewhere, don't worry. We got the little TV. It went into my sister's room. I was furious about it. Complained about it. When can I get a TV? My father told me that I could have, he said, you can have the TV that's in the family room. I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, awesome. So he bought a new TV, which he was already planning to do, and he gave me the old TV. And I put it in my room, and it lasted like a week, and then it died. And I was, again, distraught. Oh, no, I had a TV. Now I don't have a TV. And I went to my dad and I said, I want to get a TV. I need a new TV for my room. And he said, you can get a new TV for your room whenever you want. And I said, okay, great. And he said, okay, great. And I waited around a while and I kept saying, when am I going to get my new TV? And eventually he made it clear that I could get a new TV for my room whenever I wanted to, meaning when I could make the money and get the TV. Little play on the words there. And I thought, all right, well, I was kind of mad because I felt like I had been tricked. But I was already working. I was already doing stuff, making money. So I saved up a little bit of money. $4. I already had $4. I was walking that same week. I was walking, and there was a garage sale at the neighbor's house. I'm like 10 years old. They got a huge, like, 35-inch floor model black and white television, like the huge thing. It's the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. And I buy it. I buy it. It's a few days later for my dad saying you can get a TV whenever you want. I buy this giant television. It's old, but it's got, you know, big speakers built into it, and it's a huge thing that sits on the floor. So a few days after he tells me that, I come walking up the driveway. It's a huge TV, bigger than the new TV that he bought for the family. I've got it on a wagon, and I'm trying to get it up the driveway. He figures out he's got to help me get it into the house. We get it into the house. We haul it up. We get it all the way up to my room, which is the smallest bedroom in the house. And the TV's so big that I could put it in my room along with my bed, but there's no way then to get to the other side of the bed. And you can't see the TV because the screen is right against the foot of the bed. That's how huge it is. And the room was very small. So it is then decided, well, we can't just make him get rid of the TV. And there's a little bit of my mom like, well, you told him he could get a TV. You know, you messed with him. And then and now look where we are. So I ended up getting the biggest. I went from the smallest bedroom to the biggest bedroom. Didn't have its own bathroom like the master that my parents were in. But it was this attic bedroom, and it was huge. And I ended up with this giant room, which I basically filled with fish tanks. And, like, I had it divided into two separate rooms. And it was where I, you know, I grew up in that room, basically. So much fun I had up in that room. And it was like my own house. And I had this giant TV in the middle of the floor. And that... right there, that story is when I realized that you could want something better or something more, and you could get it. If you were willing to, like, go after it, you could do it. And now, everything had changed. I had no TV. I had the tiniest room. Now I have a huge TV in my own room, and I have all this new confidence. And it's really kind of a turning point for me. I had a lot of adventures up in that attic room, partially because it was up above everything else and not as well insulated, and part of it was above the garage, and it was hot, and there were bugs, and, like, there's two huge attics on either side of it, but it's a great room, and I have great memories from that, and I think that room and my life there deserves one of these. Blowing it up to the big attic room. Into thinking that you can get something more and going after it and figuring out that you were right and getting it. It's fantastic. It's a great thing to learn. I hope you guys have had similar experiences. But to be honest, I don't care that much. Just kidding. Look, there's the new show logo again. Isn't that fancy? I think it is. This is going swimmingly. Yeah, I use that word. Meaning that it's like you was swimming. It was my first big news show. That's right, Elizabeth. It really was. When I had the other TV that was the family TV beforehand, I would, I learned how to play guitar in that room. I had this old record player that it was one of those plastic ones that, ooh, watch your hands on the bar. I just bonked my elbow on the bar. Ouch. It was one of those plastic record players that it had a handle and you could carry it. And then when you wanted to bust it out, you stand it up, flip down the turntable, pop the speakers off, and then set it up. You got, like, instant music. It was great. So I had one of those, and I got into, that's when I, like, discovered all kinds of music. Like, I got into Zeppelin. I can't remember who told me about Zeppelin, but or maybe I heard it. It's, you know, somebody at school was playing it on something, on their Sony Walkman. But... yeah, I got into that there. And then when I was in that room is when a British family moved in behind us, which was like a big thing in our small town. It was like, oh, my God, they're from another land. And they were older, the kids. And one of them was like in his mid-20s when I was like, you know, 12, 13, 12, I think. And he had a studio. He had a music studio and a sound room, and he... not really a studio so much as like a mixing mastering suite. And that's what he did. And he was working on some cool albums. He was doing an album for The Fix, the band The Fix. One thing leads to another, those guys. And I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. He showed it to me and I was fascinated. And I was asking him a zillion questions and he put a guitar in my hand to get me to leave him alone. And then I couldn't stop. Then like 3 weeks later, I bought it from him. I saved up, I bought it from him, and then that's when I started playing guitar. So my two friends would come over that played guitar also. We'd sit there and play Wish You Were Here for like 45 minutes. I just keep playing it over and over. And but yeah, it was a great time. It were a great time for me. I look back on it fondly. That house is still there, and it's only... you know, a few miles from here. Once in a while, I go drive by it. But in that town that I grew up in, which is called Chatham, New Jersey, houses, they are knocking down houses and building mansions everywhere. And that house that I grew up in is, you know, one of the newer homes. Like, it was new back then, where a lot of them had been around for 100 years or more. And they were bigger and newer, and now that, like, they're going to start knocking them down. I'm just, like, waiting to hear the news. Yeah, your house got bulldozed, and they built a house that occupies the entire lot. That's the kind of stuff they're building in there now. I'm just going to tune back in with your chats here for a second. Hell yeah, Zeppelin. Yeah, I had a Zeppelin phase, man. I listened to nothing but Zeppelin forever. Like, and there were record shops. You know, you go out to record stores and flip through, and it was fun, man. That was cool. I wasn't as into it as a couple of my friends who, like, that's all they wanted to do. And they had, like, their favorite bands, like, every live or even bootleg album they could get, you know. And we would make each other mixtapes. It was fun. Those were good times, man. I did have a great time in that room. Laura says, my first solo apartment was the embodiment of, oh, shoot, this is mine. Yes, I can do and buy whatever I want. Yep. That's a crazy, fantastic feeling, isn't it? Bass is a decent change up, Kelf. Yeah, bass is, since then, I think anybody that started playing a musical instrument young, especially the musical instruments of kind of the typical rock band, you know, be it the drums, the guitar, the bass, keyboards. I feel like after you do that for a long time, everybody sort of branches out a little, you know. So it's like if you've been playing guitar, you try the bass for a while, play the drums. I slowly just started picking up everything. And, you know, not all at the same time, but, you know, you're just like, oh, I'll play around with that. And then you just get lost and you finally figure out how to keep a beat on the drums with your feet and your hands. And you're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And just because you can do it, you keep doing it and then you're hooked. Spinalo says the house I grew up in was made in 1928 and was built with a box of whiskey. It got tore down and a McMansion was built on it. That sounds like a pretty small house. Built with a box of whiskey. I think that's what you mean, is that it's pretty small. Oh, it's fun to remember those times. I've been writing a little bit about not a direct connection with things that happened then, but that period of my life has inspired some writing. I feel like that story that I was telling you guys is worth repeating, worth, like, putting into something, you know? It's a fun story. I love bass. Kelf says, I love bass. I could play some guitar, but I love bass. Kelf is all about that bass, is what she's saying. One and two and three and four. One, two, three and two, the four. I started on organ in third grade, then flute in fifth. You still play the flute, Marta? That's a pretty amazing thing. I don't know how old you are. It's funny, Emma and I talk about this. Like, you guys are always on here chatting and while we're doing the show and everything. And so I just have these random, totally fabricated ideas of what you guys look like and act like in my head. But it's just like, what? And, you know, it's interesting. We've never seen you guys. A couple of you, we've seen pictures or whatever. But four-string major rager. Nickname for the bass. Yes, the attic owl roost started it all. That's absolutely right. It inspired some writing. This is why I'm fumbling around with my words. It inspired some writing that I'm tempted to tell you guys about, but I don't. But I kind of want to keep the idea secret. It's a superhero character that I came up with that I really like, and it's one of those things where any of you guys that do any writing or any creative kind of stuff will know. When things just fall into place, when you start to work on something and trying to create something, and then it just keeps coming, and you're like, oh my God, this must be right. That's how this writing project went for a while. I haven't tuned into it in a while because I've been working on this other thing, which I can't really tell you guys about yet either. I got all these, like, really kind of awesome possible potential things coming up that I don't feel like I can share with you guys yet, but I will. And believe me, there are things coming. And we are almost an hour into this show already. Holy shite. I better show you guys the web scroll. If you guys want to go to my website, you can find out where I'm going to be. I'm back on the road, as it says. I will be at the DC Comedy Loft in Washington, DC, July 28th through 30th. The fabulous DC Benny will be featuring there to hang out. He doesn't need to feature. He's a headliner too. Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington, August 12th and 13th. Ridley's Comedy Castle, that's in Royal Oak, Michigan, the purple place. And that's November 11th and 12th. And then Appleton, Wisconsin, December 2nd and 3rd. While you're there, go up to the top right and click on the Shopify page. You guys can go to the Shopify store. There's all sorts of fun stuff on there. Buttons, hoodies, bottle openers, mugs, phone cases, underwear, trucker hats, big new mugs from the Big News Show, beer cozies, pint glasses, blankets, pillow shams, some cool t-shirts, a Sparkle Bark puzzle, an eye mask that says, "Please let me sleep." Somebody bought one of our Be Good to Each Other shirts, which I'm really excited about. Remember, guys, oh, thank you very much, blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah just gave me $10. Thank you. You kind of blah, blah, blah says, what do you imagine I look like? Kind of a blob. You look like a blah, blah, blob. Sorry. I don't know what that means. I hope it didn't offend you. I don't know if I have one for you yet, blah, blah, blah. Remember, guys, if you buy something on the Shopify store, which a lot of you guys have, which is awesome, I really feel good every time, a percentage of the money goes to Share Our Strength, which is aimed at providing hungry people here in the United States with food as soon as possible. So you guys buy something, money from that order goes to them, and that helps somebody get food as soon as tomorrow. On top of that, I have it set up so that every time an order goes in, a pound of plastic gets pulled out of the oceans. And I just got, you guys are going to be surprised by this number, as I was. I just got an email from them, and so far, through our setup here, 56 pounds of plastic has been pulled out of the oceans because of you guys buying stuff from our Shopify store. So, wow. That's fantastic. That made me feel so good. So thank you guys for that. So that's it for the promotional stuff. The usual, guys, if you want to subscribe, that would be great. Subscribe to the YouTube channel here. Like it, share it, pass it on. Tell somebody about this show that we do every Sunday, which we're going to keep doing. I'm going to try to do this live. I'm going to try to keep this going, you guys. We'll do it live. We'll get Emma back in here. It's summer, man. Everybody just kind of wants to hang, which is really nice. So I hope you guys are getting a lot of that in your lives. Mark G says, 6'2", brick blonde shithouse. I think you mean blonde brick shithouse. I'll allow that. I had to allow that comment. Yeah, isn't that amazing? Elizabeth is saying, wow, great job, everyone. Yeah, it's unreal. It's so cool that that's even possible. Ben, every week doesn't need to be a, this is from ConCon, a produced show, doing a shoot the shit session out by the fire pit works, for example. Well, thanks, ConCon, and I agree. But honestly, that's kind of what I'm doing right now, is kind of a shoot the shit show. Shoot the shit show, not a shoot the shit show. You produce a shit show, and then you shoot it. Yes, I am loving live. Chooch says, holy shite, live is tremendous. Yes, we will do it live. Fuck it. That's right. That's right, Jack Toller. And welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah, Mark G is apologizing for reversing brick and blonde. It's okay. We knew what you meant. Built like a brick shithouse. Con absolutely agrees. Okay, here's the problem with what you said, ConCon. A fire pit, that's like a hole in the ground that you have a fire in. I built like a beautiful masterpiece of a fireplace, okay? So I might have to show you it just so you know the difference. Yeah, no, I'm happy to do them, but I'm going to keep them right here at the bar because I've got a good setup going here now. Right? I've got all these graphics, and they're working, which is amazeballs. We have a fun motley crew in the after show chat. Yes, and you guys have the after show chat, which we love that. We think that's so cool. It's great that you guys are doing that, and that you guys have found each other through this. I remember the first time when I was doing my stand-up improv thing on working from home. The first time I was reading one of your comments and realized that you weren't talking to me. One of you guys was messaging someone else. And I was like, they're chatting with each other. That's pretty cool. You know? So, I kind of like this format for the moment. And we're trying to keep these going. And we'll get Emma back in here next time. But maybe we'll do something out by the fireplace. Fireside chats. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we will. But I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. And Emma's not here, but she sent these to me. So we're going to take a look because it's that time. It's already 10 o'clock. Oh, she sent me some news items as well. You guys, look at that. I didn't realize. Oh, yeah. Should we do a news item? Let's do one. Let's do a news item. What do you think? Ragnarok. Chooch says we're a Ragnarok bunch. You guys are Vikings? Everybody's a Viking. Oh, Marta was a honey gold blonde. Now it's silvery. Kelf, that's very nice. The people in the chat are some of the best I've ever met. Some of the best you've never met. I'm so glad you guys are liking it live. I am too. Yeah, this is going to be the norm again, you guys. Producing the show and editing it and posting it and all that stuff, that makes the job, it for every 90-minute show that we did, that was probably about including the 90 minutes of the show, performing it and then chatting with you guys. It's probably about 6 hours of work to do that. To do it this way, now that I've managed to set things up again, and we can do it live and still have all the bells and whistles, which I know, I don't know, but I feel like you guys don't care as much about those as I do. I know Emma doesn't care about them as much as I do, but now, like, when I say goodnight here, I'm done. It's already out there. I did it all in one go, and that's it. So there's no, it takes however long the show runs, and then I'm done. So this makes it a lot easier for me as well. Jake, what's up, Jake? Your shows at the Jukebox in Peoria have always been a riot. The way you interact with the crowd has made you one of my favorite comedians. Well, thank you very much, Jake Gerst in Peoria. Thanks, man. I've always had a great time at that club there in Peoria. The Jukebox. It's a fun place, fun crowds. And Dan, the owner, is like one of the most diehard stand-up fans out there. He's a nut, but a great guy and a huge comedy fan, and he's kept that place going. So I'll be back there. If it plays in Peoria, it'll play anywhere. That's what they say. It's an expression. It doesn't mean actually Peoria. It means small town America. I mean, that's what I always took it to mean. Took it to mean. Yeah, welcome aboard, Jake. Good to have you, man. You've only missed 120 episodes. Thanks for joining us. Just kidding. Glad to have you, buddy. Bacon bits. Ba-ba-ba. I'm trying to keep up here. And Chooch is happy. Fuck yeah, we're doing it live. I assume you meant like a Boston with fuck. Kevin says, the cool thing about it is you have creative authority to try out and see what suits you best. That is absolutely right. And I want it to be fun, as I said, so we're trying this, and I got to tell you, folks, I think it's good. And we're going to do a quick news story without Emma. It's going to be weird. It's weird. It's wild. It's wacky. It's not Wednesday at all. It's Sunday. It hasn't been Wednesday when we did the show since I've created this graphic for the weird, wild, wacky Wednesday. It's Ben's Weird, Wild, Wacky Wednesday Weekly World News. It's Emma still. I'm just filling in. You guys knew that. All right, here we go. All right, I'm going to give you guys a choice. We could either do police are being kept busy or hot mail, M-A-I-L, or lose something with a question mark. These are your choices. Police are being kept busy, hot mail, like mail you get in the mailbox, and lose something? You guys vote, and then we'll pick one. You guys vote, and then I'll pick one. Regardless of what your votes say. We'll run it like a real-life democracy. Chooch says hot mail. Mark G says, fuck yeah, SB. Unrelated. I need a vote. Hotmail. Lose something from Marta. Lose something. That's two. Lose somethings. Lose something. Lose something. Lose, loose, loose. Are those all typos? Or you guys are voting for, I think we have a winner. It's lose something with a question mark. So I'll say it this way. Lose something. Lose something. I wish I had some music. Blomp, blomp, blomp. Iberia Parish of Louisiana, Iberia Parish, Louisiana, sheriff's officers were called out at 3:30 a.m. on May 22nd because of a house found abandoned on a trailer attached to a truck, KATC-TV reported. The rig was blocking the road, and signs, mailboxes, and trees had been damaged along the street. In addition, power lines and poles had been hit, knocking out power to about 700 customers in the area. Deputies arrested Tony Domingue, 46, and Nico Comeaux, C-O-M-E-A-U-X, 32 years old. They had been told that they needed permits to move the home, but they went ahead and tried to do it on their own anyway. Both men were held at the Iberia Parish Jail. Wow. So these guys decided they were going to move their house without a permit. They managed to get it on the back of a truck. and they drove it, smashing through signs and mailboxes and knocking down trees and telephone poles, knocking out power to 700 customers in the area. And then they just left it in the road. I am going to try to feel better about the goof-ups that I make when I've attempted a project that's maybe a little too ambitious here at the house. At least I didn't try to load my house on a truck and smash all kinds of shit and then leave it in the middle of the road. Wow, that is crazy. Oh, man. Okay, wait, you know what? There's a couple more here, but you know what? I don't want to use up all her news items. Lose something. Yeah, I lost my house. We were driving it somewhere around where 95 and Route 64 connect. We were dragging telephone poles and power lines and dogs and people and just can't remember where I left it. Is it? You try to write down your address, but it's different. All right. Good news story, babe. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. And I think we'd all like to say thank you. Well, that's crazy, man. I've done a couple of things without a permit, but wouldn't try to move a home. Maybe I would. Maybe I would. If I was alone, if I lived alone, as my boy Bill Burr pointed out in his act, you got to live with somebody, because if you live alone, there's nobody to go, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And you just do all kinds of shit you shouldn't do. All right, so let's see now. It's getting on in the program here, folks. It's 10:10, and we're going to probably go for not that much longer because it's just me, and I'm tired of looking at me. So I think it's time for Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Every day is Sunday. This is what we do. This is called Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We celebrate the weird holidays that every single day of the calendar year is not just one, but two or three or four or five or sometimes six or seven strange holidays. And we thought it was time that somebody started making notice of these. And we do that with a segment called Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Let's see here. National Pink Day is a day to celebrate the meaning, history, and beauty of the pale shade of red. Surveys in both the United States and Europe found pink to be most commonly associated with femininity, sensitivity, and tenderness. The day celebrates all things pink. National Pink Day, everybody. I hope she doesn't let it go to her head. But believe it or not, before the 1940s, pink was worn by boys in infancy and was considered a stronger color than blue. Did not know that. Pink is traditionally considered to be a girly color in Western societies, but this isn't always the case, and this idea is gradually fading. In Japan, pink is associated more with men than with women, and in Korea, pink represents trust. So there's a lack of pink around the world. For many years, pink was avoided in China as the color had Western influences, but pink is welcomed now in the country. In the 1700s, we have the first use of the word pink to describe pale red, derived from the class of flowers called the pinks. Until then, pink was simply that, a flower. Until the 1700s, it was a flower, not a color. And the use of the word referred to a flower in the sense of his mother is the flower of dependability, as in the paragon or the prime example. Totally lost me, and I think I lost you guys with that part, so we're going to move on. But it is National Pink Day. Let us celebrate not just the color, but the flowers. Let's see. National Yard Games Day. It is a day to have loads of fun with friends, not at an expensive venue, but in your yard. Adults and youngsters gather in yards and play fun games, specially devised for the day's celebration. A list of 10 fun games is released to be played and experimented with on the day. I wish I had those for you guys, which fuels people's excitement about the day. National Pink Day, National Yard Games Day. Yes, lawn darts, Marta, but put your helmet on. How were those things ever a thing? Here, these things weigh 30 pounds apiece, and the kids line up at either end of the yard and throw them in the direction of their sibling. What a brilliant idea that was. And then I think this is my favorite, which I was looking for some info on it, and I didn't find it yet. But it is National Hike with a Geek Day. Hike with a Geek. I think that means a day for everyone to hike with their favorite mini submarine. Big Geek and Little Geek. Who can tell me what movie that's from? Hike with your favorite submarine. Big Geek, Little Geek. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody out there? It's not a quote, really, but it's from something. A film, and then we'll get on with Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Chooch says, wait! Jarts were fire. Yeah. Jarts were a bad idea. Slip and slide, remember those? Those were fun. Make sure you get all the rocks out from under that thing, though, before you slide down it with your butt at 100 miles an hour. Hike up your skirt for a geek. Con, do you consider yourself a geek? Oh, no, it's not Hunt for Red October. Good guess, though. I believe Ramius is trying to defect. Some things in here don't react well to bullets. Nope, not Austin Powers either. It's pretty obscure, I guess. It's a well-known movie where people are underwater. It's a really good one, and it had some great special effects in it that I hadn't seen the like of in other films at that time. I could start naming people that are in it, maybe. Not Das Boot. Nope. Not The Boat. It's not a submarine movie. All right, I'll start telling you people that are in it. How's that sound? We'll start with Michael Biehn, the guy who plays John Connor in the original Terminator movie. Is in this movie. The Abyss! Con got it. The Abyss. The Abyss is correct. Great movie. I like that movie a lot. I think it's very good. It's one of those that, if it's on, I'm going to watch it. It's good. It's because they're very good in it. And it's a great story. Das goddamn Boot. Yeah, Waterworld. A classic. An absolute classic. All right, so those are our holidays. So wait, Con got it. Yeah, The Abyss. Directed by James Cameron. Ed Harris. Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio. They're great in it. They're very good. Everybody's good in it. It's a good movie. National Hike with a Geek Day, National Yard Games Day, and National Pink Day. Let's do this.
This weekend, one day only, you find your friend who's the biggest geek, and I mean he's got a pocket protector, he's got very thick glasses, and he never talks to anybody. Now you take him outside and you go hike with him because it's National Hike with a Geek Day. And when you get back, you get to play some yard games in the yard. That's why they call them yard games, because you play them in the yard. And when you're done, you sit back and you look at those pretty flowers in the corner and wonder what color are they. Are they pink? I think they are.
Double blow-ups. You know what? I feel good about this, you guys. I just had fun doing that again. I love that we still have some aspects of this that came from the original show, you know, and we just made those things up out of nowhere in an effort to try to entertain you guys and ourselves. So I want to say thank you to you guys. You guys have been here hanging this whole time. From the origin of the show to what it is now and through all the tech problems and all the issues and things changing. Thank you guys for being here with us. And we're going to keep doing it. This has been The Big News Show with Ben Bailey, episode number 20. Keep in mind, these are all available as podcasts. If you guys want to listen to them in the car or whatever, if that's easier, they'll always be on YouTube here. Oh, you know what? There is a chance we're going to move them to the website. So then you guys would have to go to our website to do it. But I'm not sure about that. Let us know what you think about that. We're going to create a members area. There'll be some extras in there, that sort of thing. We're thinking about it. But for now, we're going to try to go live just like this every Sunday at 9. And then after that, it'll be on YouTube, the video, and the audio will go to all things podcast, wherever you can listen to a podcast, it'll be out there. So yeah, thanks again, you guys. This has been episode number 20 of The Big News Show. I'm Ben Bailey.
And I'm Anna Gleason.
We'll see you next time on The Big News Show. We will not see you. Good night, guys. See you in a week.